What's going on, Andre? How's it going?
Not much.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for being here. We appreciate it, as always. So I know a lot of people are asking you a lot of different questions, and you talked about Gary Kubiak a little bit yesterday, but it's got to be a strange situation, not only the season, but then you see what happens on Sunday with Coach Kubiak. What are your latest thoughts on this and all the reports coming out and everything like that?
Well, I said yesterday, I think his health is more important than anything. Football is just a game. It's going to be here regardless. So I just think he needs to get himself healthy, you know, find out what's going on. And, you know, just what we've been hearing is, you know, as his team, we don't really know. You know, all they've been telling us is that, you know, he's in good spirits. He's doing okay. But, you know, that's pretty much it. So.
Is it strange to go through a Monday routine, and you haven't been through the entire week yet? We'll see. You know, maybe he's back tomorrow, maybe he's not, but just to not have him in the building has got to be weird.
Yeah, it was weird yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you get used to a certain person addressing the team. Even after the game, it was weird. You know, it was just kind of like everybody was lost. Like, we didn't know. You know, it was real weird. It was a strange feeling, you know, after the game. The whole situation that happened, I didn't get to see it because I already had went in the locker room to get IV. And I came back. When I was in there, they was just like coaches now, you know. So I'm thinking that some player done ran into him during the game or something, because I can't see the game. I can't see what's going on. So I thought something like that had happened. But it was like he just collapsed. So.
It's a pressure-packed position that you play, that any NFL player plays. There's a lot of pressure to perform. Mm-hmm. It's a different kind of pressure on the coaching staff. I mean, has your mind gone there yet? I mean, in terms of, you know, these guys have to deal with 53, 75, 100 people every day, and the pressure just builds up.
Yeah, I thought about it. You know, there's a lot of pressure that comes with that position. Mm-hmm. You know, the expectation level is so high for this season. And then for it to go the way that it's going now, people talk about, you know, you need to be fired and all this stuff. And you're trying to focus on what you need to focus on to get your team playing a way that you know they can play. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's a lot of pressure, a lot of things that's going through your mind because, you know, you want to try to get it fixed.
Right.
You know? So I'm pretty sure, you know, it's a lot of pressure that comes with that.
Having been here so long, you have a great relationship with Kubes, I'm sure. You know, maybe not even during the season, off the season. Have y'all talked about just, you know, that, you know, the pressures of the job and maybe, you know, how you guys individually handle it?
Well, I mean, for me it's different because I'm just a player.
Right.
I always tell people I don't look at football as pressure. You know, it's just a game. Mm-hmm. I think if you approach it that way, you know, it keeps things in perspective. You know, you don't put as much pressure on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you win, you lose. At the same time, you still got to go home to your family, and it's bigger things that go on, you know, in this world than just a game of football. So, you know, we never sat down and talked about the pressures of it. But, mm-hmm. you know, I've talked to him earlier this season, you know, just, you know, about what maybe some things we can change or things we can do to – or you know, what I was thinking, you know, just about how things were going and stuff like that. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, you talk about it's just a game, and you were playing that game very well on Sunday in the first half, and it looked like you were having a lot of fun. Like, it was throw and catch. I know there's a lot more that goes into it than that,
yeah.
But you and Case Keenum hooked up three times. First time you've caught three touchdown passes in a game. And what about that, Andre? I mean, it was one of those things where you guys made it look easy that night in the first half.
Well, when we came into the game, it was just like we're going to take some shots early. And we haven't been doing that all year, you know. We haven't really threw many deep balls or anything like that. So when they said it, I was just like, yeah, okay.
Sure we will.
Yeah, but, when they call the plays, you know, when I heard it, when they gave us the plays, we always get the plays, the first 15 mm-hmm. Scripted plays the night before the game, so. When I saw the plays, I was like, okay, they're serious about this. So Coach Carr, quarterback coach, when I was leaving the hotel Sunday, he told me, he was like, don't be surprised if you get three touchdowns.
Wow.
So It ended up happening.
Now, what was your reaction to that?
When he told me, I laughed. I kind of laughed it off. But and it all, I mean, it all played out, so.
All right, the first one, we've seen that kind of play before, okay? Mm-hmm. And how do you handle that, your job, your part of that? Because he's making the fake, and he's coming to the outside. He boots to the outside. How do you sell your part of it?
Well, the biggest thing is that you want to get him thinking that you're – we run a lot of comebacks.
Mm-hmm.
So my biggest thing was to make him believe that I was running that comeback route. So a lot of times DBs tell you, you know, when you – come off real fast, you know, and you like fighting while you're running, you know, they know that you're eventually going to stop. So I just tried to do everything I could to make them believe I was running the comeback route, and mm-hmm. he bit all over it, and I was wide open.
The second one, it looked like you were almost surprised that it got to you and that you had to sort of catch up to it.
No, I wasn't surprised that it got to me. I was surprised he threw it.
Okay.
It'd be normally when we're in that situation, it wouldn't, you know, the quarterback wouldn't throw the ball. But I think Case just thought differently, you know, like, you know, I like my guy better than that guy. So he just gave me a chance on it, and I was able to go get it.
So that's something that you just said is a little different from previous. What else does Case bring that's just a different type of – I mean, because something was different. You caught three passes, 200 and whatever, 90, whatever it was, yards. So something was
something.
Yeah, something was working differently. What was it?
Well, I always said it was just something special about him. I mean, if you watch him playing preseason, you know, you watch him in practice, some of the things that he do. You know, you just kind of like, man, you know, that kid had an opportunity. You know, you just wonder how it would work out in a game situation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's... You know, when he's out there, man, he's probably the most excited guy out of everybody.
How about just even the way he steps into the huddle is funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He leans in.
They called him like a samurai on TV.
Yeah, he's always like he keeps guys loose. Mm-hmm. You know, he's you wouldn't think he was a rookie. Mm-hmm. You know, you would think he's been doing it for a while. And it was so funny after the third, you know, after he threw me the third touchdown before the half. You know, some of the trainers came over to try to give him some water, and he slapped all the water out of his hand. So he was pretty fired up.
Now, that third one, did you give the signal, or did he give the – how did the communication work for that?
Well, we have a – you know, he was going to spike the ball to kill the clock. We have a signal that we give, you know. But it's up to him to choose to throw the ball mm-hmm. or not. So I gave him the signal, and, you know, he gave me a little nod, so I knew it was coming.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And that's much reminiscent of the Lions game, which I'm sure you saw highlights of, yeah, at least, you know, yeah, the Matt Stafford thing.
Yeah, it was the same way.
Well, and I know you remember Marino and the
oh,
Jets,
yeah,
right?
The Jets, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of thing, of course. I mean, he's a Miami guy. So, Andre, how do you take the season now? I mean, it's 2-6, mathematically still alive, and I was saying it earlier, you guys, no matter what, you guys take it 1 week at a time, 1-0, and I imagine it's probably the same kind of thing.
Yeah, nothing has changed. You know, you still approach it one game at a time. I mean, there's nothing we can do about the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our record is what it is, and, you know, all you can do is try to go out and win the rest of your game. So, as crazy as it sounds, you know, we still have a chance, so... You just have to keep fighting.
And isn't it, I mean, it almost sounds like a different kind of 2-6 because there is a spark surrounding this team mm-hmm. with Case. I mean, let's just be honest. Case mm-hmm. has injected a lot of life into the city, and it sounds as if into the team as well. I mean, so you kind of feel, somebody said it the other day, it might have been Mark, you know, it's kind of like approaching the back nine when you're playing golf. Yeah. It doesn't matter what shot on the front. Now you feel, all right, I got this now.
Yeah. You know, coming into the Colts game, I said that I thought that, you know, he would be more comfortable, you know, after getting his first start. And mm-hmm. you saw that, you know, he felt more comfortable out there. You know, he's able to extend plays and, you know, make.
And it just all over the whole team feels it, doesn't it?
Yeah, he definitely brings a spark to the team. I mean, you know, I think the energy level, you know, in the stadium was at a whole nother level Sunday night. So.
Yeah.
Well, when they showed him on the video board and he's waving his arms, getting the crowd into it even more.
Yeah.
I mean, they were bonkers at that point, no doubt about it. Last year we had you on the show, and you talked about how as the years go by, you take care of your body differently and everything. Mm-hmm. Well, another year has gone by, and your productivity is still stellar. So, right. But I got to think that you continue to make changes and adjustments into the way you handle yourself physically.
Yeah, I have. This offseason, I trained a little different. I got on the track more, you know, running on the track. You know, running on the track is it's a different type of conditioning than, you know, football. You know, it helps, you know, make your legs stronger and stuff, builds that endurance so that that you can go longer. And I did, you know, rather than doing shorter distances, I did more longer distance running.
Was Arian with you? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was training with Arian and his brother. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's
people
it's
forget you're a track guy. I mean, you've run track.
Yeah, so I ran track. Yeah,
you're so familiar with it.
Yeah, and just to give us a glimpse of that, all right, so Big East track – meet, track tournament, championships, whatever. Yeah. Was it the relay team? Who was on the relay team? Give me the all-star relay.
Well, it was two of them.
Okay.
My freshman year, Santana Moss ran first leg. Darryl Jones ran second. Clint Porters ran third, and I ran anchor.
All right, that's an all-NFL. Darryl Jones played for the Giants for a while. It's an all-NFL relay team. They show now, you guys didn't do any regular season meets or anything, right? You just show up at the championships pretty much?
We normally ran in like pen relays. That would be the meet that we were really. That would be our first meet.
The pen relays, which is a legendary
right.
track,
yeah. right?
Up
so,
north.
Well, mostly all we did was practice and then run that pen and then Big East.
Me too.
Just go off the
radio. It's like falling out of bed and hitting, shooting a 38 points in basketball or something.
Yeah. Any other events that you did?
I ran 100. I was a Big East champ in 100 and a Big East champ in the 60 meter.
How about a guy who's training in track all season long, like, okay, I think I got this. And then all of a sudden, Andre Johnson shows up. Darn it. Yeah. Oh, well.
So this summer when you were working out, I mean, I know I would do this. You know, you know, at your age, did you kind of wonder, I wonder what I can run the 100 in? Did you go all out once or twice?
I mean, you get past.
You're smiling. It sounds as if you were thinking about it.
Nah, I wasn't thinking about it. You know? I just laid off. I didn't do as much, you know, weightlifting. You know, I just did more running, you know, doing stuff on the track mm-hmm. and a lot of field work. So my workouts this year consisted more of, you know, just doing stuff on the track and, you know, routes and stuff like that.
Do you think now, clearly speed is important as a wide receiver, but it's not the be-all, end-all. Guys like Anquan Boldin
right.
didn't have great speed coming out of college and everything. Are you as fast as you used to be, in your opinion? Do you know that for sure?
I wouldn't probably say I'm as fast as I used to be, but I feel like I can still move with the best of them.
Right.
You know, well, that was evident.
So
yeah.
Night. Yeah.
And but route, they always talk about, you know, the coaches, opponents always talk about your route running, how crisp it is. And you mentioned something in the last segment about having to sell things a certain way. Mm-hmm. That part of it. Is it more important in a way?
Well, I think the thing is you want to try to make everything look the same. You know, that's when I was coming out of college, that was, you know, pretty much the thing people talked about was that I didn't run good routes. So, you know, I just took that and that was something every offseason I'm consistently working on, you know, trying to make sure I stay on top of that.
What did you do between year one and year two to improve your hands?
I think it was just more of a confidence thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes, you know, guys lose confidence in their hands. You know, when you drop a ball here, drop a ball there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, you start to lose confidence. You know, you start to body catch and stuff like that. And, you know, the off season, I just caught balls out of the jugs. And, you know, you just try to make a commitment to – no matter if the ball comes to you, you're going to go with your hands and try to get it. So when you do stuff like that, it just builds more confidence.
I want to get back to, you know, what's at hand here moving forward. Obviously, the Texans haven't said anything officially. There have been some reports about Gary Kubiak. So I'm guessing at minimum, my guess, this week you'll have Wade Phillips again.
Right.
Offer to us what Wade Phillips might bring. And it's got to be pretty comforting knowing he's been in the league as a head coach.
Well, I think that's the good thing about it. You know, he's been a head coach in this league. And, you know, so I think that helps out a lot. You know, I think it would be different if, you know, we just had to have a coach just step in and be a head coach, and he's never been a head coach before.
Mm-hmm.
But I think by having Wade there, you know, it'll keep things running smooth, and, you know, we'll be able to go, you know, with our routine.
What about Rick Dennison, offensive coordinator? They were thrust into a situation in the second half. He's having to call plays and everything, and without Gary Kubiak there, there's an adjustment. If it comes to be that Coach Kubiak's not available for Sunday, having an extra week's got to help in that department as well.
Yeah, I think it'll help. The thing that you don't realize is, like, nobody's expecting for their coach to collapse at halftime of a game. So, you know, that just throws everything off, you know, at the drop of a hat. Okay, you have to play the head coach role. You have to be the offensive coordinator. This has to happen. That has to happen. So,
and you have 12 minutes, less than that.
Less.
12-minute halftime. But by the time you figure out that it's going to be that way, you have about 10.
That's a really good point, because even 2 years ago, you know, the 11 season that was so magical, next man up kind of became the slogan.
Yeah.
But you guys work out and work on the all right, if this guy goes out, who's in? And it's automatic. It's not automatic when it's the head coach.
No, it's not.
It just seems like it throws everybody off.
Yeah. It was definitely a different second half in the game the other night.
Tell me about DeAndre Hopkins, how you think he's doing.
I think he's doing well. You know what? A lot of the guys that come in as rookies, it takes them a little while to pick up the offense. And I think he's way ahead, you know, of where he's, you know, where most rookies are at this point. And, you know, as you can see, you know, you give him a chance to make some plays, he can go out and make some big plays for you. So I think he's going to continue to get better and better.
Okay, so a few things here. DP Sidhu from HoustonTexans.com interviewed you recently, and she asked you some of the things you might want to consider when you retire for a second career or opportunities, whatever. And you said actually sports talk radio might be one of them.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's – what? Lopez is like –
we might have an opening.
It might be you, actually.
Wait, whoa, no.
Andre Johnson's available, okay?
Andre Johnson, John Lopez.
I mean, you see what he brings to an appearance, all right?
They clapped for me when I got here.
It's true, they did, because they didn't want to hear me talk anymore.
Okay.
But, Andre, all right, big topic right now, and you got to get your thoughts on this, Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin. So okay. – What do you think of this? I mean, we don't know everything. We weren't in the rooms when all this stuff went down. But what a bizarre story.
Yeah, that's crazy. You know, Incognito, he has a history, you know, of stuff. You know, he's a dirty player. You know, we've all, you know, we've experienced it, you know, with Antonio and stuff like that. And I think a lot of people took out of context what Antonio did or whatnot because, you know, if you see the tape, you know, that shows everything. You know, the eye in the sky doesn't lie. So, and then for this to come out, you really don't know what to think. I can't really speak of, you know, how Jonathan handled it. You know, I think everybody's brought up different ways, and I think if it was another player, it might have been handled a different way, and probably could have got out of control.
All right, let's go sports talk radio. Put your sports talk radio audition hat on. This is your audition. I got a hunch it doesn't matter what you say, you get the job. But all right, let me give you a good sports topic away from the NFL. Mm-hmm. So you can talk candidly as a sports talk host. Let's talk best player not named LeBron in the NBA. I say Chris Paul. What do you say, and how would you argue it?
Best player not LeBron?
Yeah.
Best player, not LeBron.
And this is a Rocket season ticket holder here, by the way.
That's right.
Best player, not LeBron. I would probably have to go with Derrick Rose.
Really?
Yeah.
See, now that would initiate. That's a good answer. That would initiate good sports talk back and forth, because I could argue Kevin Durant, James
Durant?
Harden, Dwight Howard.
I mean, I like. I have a bunch of players that I like in the NBA, but I like guys who go to the rack. So,
And he does that.
And
you
Derrick
and me
Rose,
both.
He's a guy who can. He's explosive. I mean, he protects the ball going to the hole. The only knock I would have on him is probably his turnovers. You know, as of right now. You know, because he hasn't played the whole year. So.
Right. Yeah. All right. Rockets point. I'm still doing this. Sorry, Mark.
Go ahead.
Rockets point guard: Jeremy Lin or Patrick Beverley?
Patrick Beverley.
Me too. See, we could be co-hosts. You're done.
I'm out.
I think Jeremy's better coming off the bench. I think Patrick Beverley brings a he brings an energy. The way he plays defense, he just when I first saw him last year, I was like, who is this guy? You know, I did an interview earlier last week, and I said, if I had a team, I would put him on.
And he doesn't turn the ball over as much.
Yeah, so he's a big energy guy.
Yeah, how do you think they're going to do this year?
I think they're going to do well. To be honest, I think they're going to do well. I think, you know, it's early in the season. They didn't have a good showing last night, of course.
Right, right.
But I think they're going to do well. I think, you know, basketball doesn't really pick up until after the All-Star break.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah, but hey, you're a professional athlete, though. They're out there every night, right? I mean, it's not like those guys are like, nah, we'll wait.
Yeah, I'm not saying that, but.
The intensity, you know, level, maybe?
Yeah, every year you see it. After that All-Star break, things just change, so.
It's so bizarre because you play in a sport where every game is, you know, the world hangs in the balance. Yeah. You know, every Sunday. Yeah. And they play, well, they got blown out last night, but right. And people might pick it apart on Sports Talk Radio, but it's not the end of the world for them.
Yeah, they play 82 games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they can go out one night and get beat by 50 points and then come back and beat somebody else by 50. So,
right.
It doesn't, their games. It's a little bit different than the NFL. Every game counts. So,
did you play in high school? I forgot.
Yeah, I played a little bit in high school. I only played my senior year.
Power forward?
Yeah.
All right. Who on the Texans would be the best hoop player? You know, Dwayne played a little bit.
Yeah, I played with Dwayne before. Dwayne's pretty good. We have a bunch of guys that can actually play.
Wait, you know? You guys get together in the offseason sometimes and play? Are you allowed to do this?
I can't play anymore.
You can't do it.
Nah, my knees won't hold up. But, you know, I've actually been over and watched some of the guys play. Bryce McCain's real good.
Really?
Dwayne plays. Sharp can play. Jonathan mm-hmm. Joseph, Kareem. You know, he has a real good game. So we have a bunch of guys.
Kareem strikes me as he'd be real feisty. He'd be up in you all the time defensively.
You know, the funny thing about it, if you could just put a camera in the gym and watch the guys play,
please.
They argue about
every call.
Every call.
Of course.
Every foul. It's funny. Like, I just sit on the sideline and I'm dying laughing. So.
Oh, I'd love to put a camera in the gym.
Yeah, no kidding. DP, get on that.
Yes.
Get
on DP. I think we'd get a few views of that.
No kidding.
Of that action. But, you know, clearly football is the sport that matters most. Now, you mentioned the knees. Gary Kubiak will not practice you on that artificial surface at the Houston Methodist Training Center bubble.
Yeah.
I mean, is it that tough in there on the knees as opposed
it's tough on everybody, to be honest. I actually practiced on it last week, mm-hmm. you know.
Because of the rain, you had
to. Yeah, I had to. But I think the thing is like, my left knee is the bad knee.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So at times, like I can't run on concrete. It'll swell up, you know. So
why mess around with it if you don't have to?
Yeah, so I stay away from running on the hard surfaces and stuff like that. But if I do practice on it, I wear these turf shoes rather than wearing cleats and stuff. So those helped out a whole lot last week. I wasn't sore or anything, or I didn't have any swelling after practicing on it last week, so it worked out.
We mentioned Saturday night as your alma mater got together with Florida State and ended up on the short end of that one.
Yeah, that was bad.
Was there a lot of trash talking between you and Seminoles and things like that?
Well, not really.
Travis Johnson's been talking a lot of noise, man.
Yeah, I mean, he talks now because they're good.
But he never beat the Canes, I think.
Yeah, he never beat us.
So
he can't. He never beat Miami. So,
what is it like having Ed on the team for you? Are you still? Do you still look over sometimes and see him and say, "Wow, Ed is here"?
He's I don't know, man. He's a character. Mm-hmm. I mean, he hasn't changed one bit from the time I met him, you know, in college. He keeps everybody laughing, keeps everybody loose, and he's always cracking jokes. So, you know, he's just always doing something crazy. I remember when he first got here, we were out there. You know, on a practice field, catching balls, you know, out the jug and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's flying across the field on the golf cart, you know, doing crazy stuff like that. So, you know, that's him, though.
Keeps everybody loose.
Yeah.
Who are you closest with from those days? Because we had Chris Myers on the show right. last week, and we had a trivia question. There are 13 players from the 2001 National Championship team who are still on NFL rosters. A couple of guys on IR or whatever, but still in the organization. Mm-hmm. That's incredible. To have 13 guys in the NFL from any team at any time is amazing, but still in the league from an 0-1 title team.
Yeah. Me and Reggie. Me, Reggie, and Santana are probably the closest. Mm-hmm. You know, we've always, you know, especially in the off season, we're always together and stuff like that. But I'm still Ed, you know, Edger, and you know, a lot of guys. We all see each other, you know, back at the school and stuff during the off season. Mm-hmm. You know, some guys still go back there and train, intra roll, you know, Vilma, a lot of those guys. So. I mean, once you're – it's crazy, man. Once you're a part of that UM family, it's a special thing. So,
yeah, it'll never go away.
I actually – it's funny. I seen – I don't know if you probably would remember. A guy was a senior when I was a freshman, and I was in the airport in New York, and he walks up to me. He's like, "Hey, Dre, what's up?" It's Scott Puckett.
Oh, my God. There were a lot of guys who didn't make that 0-1, who left right before there. Remember Popovich was on The Bachelor and, people like that. Yeah. Let me ask you this, though. You know, here you are with the Texans, and the wide receiver group is so young.
Right.
You know, you are the salty veteran now. And what is that like for you? I'm not going to say you're the old man because that doesn't sound good.
Well, I am the old man.
I'm sure they call you that.
the next oldest guy's only in his third year. And I'm in year 11, so it's fun, though. Because they're young and I'm older, so they do, like, the funniest things, and they keep me – I think it keeps me young, you know. So, and it's probably the closest group, you know, as a group. It's probably the closest group that we've had, you know, since I've been here. You know, we're always trying to do things together, you know. They want to go out to eat every Thursday together. So it's a lot of fun being around those guys.
What about, like, culturally? I mean, it's not like you're 50 and they're 20, but it's different. You know, they like different music. I'm sure you see them going to McDonald's and loading up on, you know, hamburgers, and you're like, oh, God. I mean, how much of that is there?
Well, you know what? It's, you know, sometimes you'll see them doing things, and I'm like, man, what are you doing? You know, but, you know, as a group, they are a great group, you know, a great group to be around. And it's so funny because, like, I'll be sitting there and I'll just be like, man, like, the body's kind of beat up today or something like that. And DeAndre, he's so funny. Like, if I say something like that, he's like, hey, man, you got to play for 5 more years, man. You can't just leave me like that. So it's fun. I mean, they, like I said, they keep me young, so I like to be around those guys.
We need at least 5 more years out of them, right, folks?
Yes, sir.
At least 5 more years. How about it for Andre Johnson joining us on the Verizon Texans Players Show?